Warm welcome back to Father James Gross, the pastor of St. Mary's in Grand Forks, here for a wedding this weekend. Good to have you. Always welcome here. On this Independence Day weekend, just a short, hopefully short and simple message that I want to try and communicate to you. In light of this extraordinary statement by Jesus that says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of me. This whole notion of loving God with my whole heart, mind, and soul, I don't know about you all, but I fail. That's hard. With all the things of the world, right? Kids, family. To love God with my whole heart, mind, and soul. To love him more than anything else in this world. Now, I can say that. But then, am I doing it? Carving out time. 20 minutes a day, 30 an hour, as if my life depended on it. And when I'm not, it's not just a matter of I'm not trying hard enough. We got to get that right. It's loving God isn't first a matter of I just got to try harder, because my life is already full. We're all very well-intentioned individuals who try a lot of things and work really hard, because you're here, I know that. So it's not a matter of I just need to will it more. I think it's a little more basic than that. That this whole notion of loving God and of placing him above all others begins with a thought. And it's something I think that we forget. I do. When I wake up in the morning, my first thought isn't, I should be in hell right now. I should be under the total control of Satan himself, the destroyer of souls. It's not my first thought. My first thought is, I can't wait to get that cup of coffee in my body so I can start thinking and then get on with my day and do this, that, and the other thing, pay the bills at the cathedral and walk Rufus. Great, all good things. But my first thought isn't, I owe Jesus everything. I should be in hell. In seminary, we used to write things on the mirror. You know, like patience and fortitude. And, you know, so you wake up in the morning, it's the first thing you see. So remember, I need to do that again. And I'm putting up there, I should be in hell. I should be Satan's pawn. Were it not for Jesus Christ. And I think from that begins to flow the desire, I'm going to do anything and everything for you, Lord. Okay? A friend of mine was telling me a story. Happened some years ago to a college-age man. He was at some fair for, I don't know, Focus or something. And there was an opportunity to sign up. I'll give a little bit of, I think they took a sample of blood to see if you would match for anyone who needed a significant transplant, whether it's bone marrow or whatever it was. And he was feeling generous and, put my name down and they can draw his blood and maybe we get lucky. And in that moment of fervor, and then the phone call came. He said, you matched. And somebody needs this, that, or the other thing. I don't remember the details, but the person said, by the way, I just need you to know, it's going to hurt a lot. What that person needs is going to hurt a lot. What are you going to do? And at that moment, he regretted putting that down. But thanks be to God, went through with it. And the transplant, whatever it was successful, and the person's life was spared. And every year, the person whose life was spared invites this gentleman down to his house for a week, all expenses paid, to simply say thank you. And he says, not a day goes by where I am not grateful for that person and what he did for me. Not a day. I want to live like that. That not a day goes by where Jesus, you've done everything for me. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to start prioritizing him more in my life. And it's going to flow from gratitude, and love that flows from gratitude is easy. The love that flows from anything else is hard. But if it flows from this deep understanding, this first thought, Jesus, you have done absolutely everything for me up to this point, and then he doesn't stop there, and he says, and I want to do everything for you from this point on. I'll serve that, because I'm not in hell. And if we think our lives are tough, and they are, Because Jesus said, you're going to have to pick up your cross. But folks, we got to remember, it could be a lot worse. A lot worse. And every single good act that we've ever performed in our lives was motivated by the love of God flowing through us. Everything. Jesus says in John chapter 15, without me, you can do nothing. And he meant it. So we should turn to our spouses and our kids this afternoon and just say, I praise and thank God for every time you've been kind. And I forgive you for all the shortcomings, because we all should be in hell and be Satan's pawns, and well, we're not. No matter how naughty kids might be sometimes. Every good thing that has flown, that has come out from us is thanks to Jesus. That begins a movement of love in the heart, I believe, that makes us want to do anything and everything for him. Like that gentleman whose life was spared. He would do anything for the man who gave him the gift of life. And Jesus has given us the gift of eternal life. I think that's the beginning. If we're falling short, brothers and sisters, in love of Jesus, in a deep personal relationship with him, is where we have forgotten our simple story. Created wonderfully, captured by evil forces, rescued by Jesus, our Savior. Rescued from the grasp of Satan himself. I think Christianity has forgotten that. And I don't know that we're telling that story enough. Maybe because we're not living it, that reality. When we're faced with the things that aren't working, we can step back and say, pretty amazing, isn't it, kids? Honey, whatever. What he's done for us. And remember. And then love flows. Readily, easily, I think. And not only has he done everything for us up to this exact moment, as I said, he's going to keep working. Since we're talking about Satan and hell a lot today, one last story. It's a story told about Satan when he was having a yard sale. He thought he'd get rid of some of those old tools that he was using to destroy humans, because they were cluttering up the place, and there was gossip, slander, adultery, lying, greed, power, all those things that he used to destroy people. Got bored with them. Some interested buyers came and they were crowding the tables. They were curious, taking a look at everything. One customer, however, strolled way to the back of the garage and found on a shelf a well-oiled and cared-for tool. This thing was in use. He brought it out to Satan and inquired if it was for sale. Nope. Satan answered, that's mine. It's my favorite one, my favorite tool, and it's not for sale. Because without it, I could not wreck the church. It's my secret weapon. Well, what is it? The customer inquired. Satan responded, it's the tool I call discouragement. Discouragement. And it works wonders. Because these humans forget that they have a Savior at their side. And they stand before some realities before which they're powerless. And they don't even know to call upon the one, and they become discouraged. And then they cower. And I win. And I love that tool, Satan says. Discouragement. Because they forget who's there to rescue them. So if we experience any discouragement in our lives, it's because we've forgotten that Jesus has come to do everything for us. Everything. And then we beg him. And we serve him. And we spend time with him. And we tell people about him. Where we lack love, where we experience discouragement, I think is where we have forgotten our story. And it's extraordinary. Created wonderfully, captured by evil, rescued by the most amazing Savior who became one of us. And he says, now how do you want to respond? And we say, Jesus, do everything for us. You already have, and you will. And that's easier to serve. And love will flow. That's our story, folks. We got to live it. We got to remember it. Write it on the mirror, whatever. Because the world needs to hear that story. And it's mine. I should be in hell. You think I'm bad? I could be much worse if I was Satan's pawn. And it's true of all of us. Jesus, thanks. Let us remember each day what you've done for us, and then we will love you above all things. Amen.